What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. As usual, I'm Kyle Corbliss, and I'm excited. Today's going to be a great day. Overall, it's just a really nice day out, but I'm really excited because I got my buddy Braden out with me. Braden Jameson, dude, thank you for coming out with me. I appreciate it. I'm really excited to catch up a little bit, talk about your new music and everything you got coming for 2023. But thanks for coming hang out with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. Now, I'm a little offended. I got to say, I got to start off with this. So I'm a little offended because I scroll through TikTok a lot. I scroll through Instagram a lot. And pretty often, do I see you are like a walking billboard for this show. And it's great. I love it. Braden's always wearing the hat. He's always rocking the merch. But today you didn't do it. And I know that you woke up and was like, I can't do that. I can't do it. I know for a fact that you chose that.
Listen, I had class at 9:30 this morning. I was wearing the hat all day.
And you switched it.
I was like, that's going to be tacky if I wear it on the show.
That's gonna be tacky. I was really when I logged into the Zoom, I was like, man, it'd be really funny if he was because I was deciding on which hat to wear today. So I'm like looking at my door where all my hats hang, and I'm like, which one do I put on? Now I don't often wear my own merch, not because like I like my own merch. I just like feel weird about wearing my own merch sometimes. Sometimes I like to wear it. And I was like, I should wear this hat today because I know that there's a chance he wears it and it'd be really funny. And then I didn't. But I appreciate you sporting the merch. I appreciate you putting on your videos. I think it's great. I love that.
I'm going to put it right back on after this. I'm wearing my own merch right now.
Isn't it weird though? Like it's cool to wear your own merch because you're like, I worked really hard for this. And like, yeah. You know, it's like, it's pretty cool. Like I do it. Like I have t-shirts and stuff. But then sometimes I'm just like, I don't know. Is it weird? I don't know. I don't know. It's like listening to your own music. Will you listen to your own music? Maybe. But is it
I try to make stuff too that like I would wear.
Right.
So it's not like my name or my face like plastered on anything.
Right. But
I try to be normal about it at least.
So. Exactly. Now, here's my thought. And I know we've had a conversation about this. I'm going to put this out there now in case anyone's listening and has an opinion. We talked about those vests for me, right? Which I think are a really cool idea. Personally, I think that's a great idea. It would have to be a really small order because, God, they're expensive. But it would be really cool, right? Like, it's stuff like that. That's like, someone's like, why don't you just make hoodies? I'm like, because I got 1,000 hoodies and I wear them. But, like, I got a few vests and I wear them all the time. It'd be cool to have this as a vest, right?
Oh, yeah. I wear a vest all the time.
See? The vest is, would you agree that the vest is, like, the most practical, but also one thing that every man should have in his closet?
Oh, absolutely.
Multiple.
Yeah. I started wearing them at shows even, and it gets hot, but I'm like, I'm just going to wear it because it's not too hot, you know?
I'm telling you, it's like the best article of clothing for like the fall or like the spring when it's turning into, well, at least up here when it's spring, it's still like, you know, high 50s turning into summer, like the best. You could get away with the vest and you're rolling. I don't know. So if you're listening now, I'm considering those. We'll see if that happens or not. I don't know, but, got to do a little pre-order action. Who knows? But all right. So you're here, right? We're you're in school. You're at Belmont. You're writing the songs, playing the music, having a good time. How's school going? Is school going good?
It's good, dude. I took a semester off in the fall, so it's good to be. I kind of got a little reset there. Played a lot of shows and worked, so it's good to be back. Got a little.
Has the balance been hard? Because I know last time we talked, it's been a while, but I know last time we had you here, you were on break and you were kind of just new to college. Like it was, I want to say it was winter maybe, and you had like one semester under your belt or something like that. Has it been harder to kind of, or easier to kind of juggle the whole playing music, but also like working on like your brand, right? Like social media and also doing school. Like is all that a tough juggle, or does Belmont give you resources to kind of help you with that since it is such a artist development, music writing, business school type feel? Is that
it's kind of like anything else, I guess. You just kind of find your groove and you make your schedule. There's definitely been a couple times where I've called like my mom and dad and it's like, hey, listen, I'm not going to be in class for the next 2 days because this is a crazy opportunity. And they're like, that's like why you're there. So,
yeah.
But I really do care about my grades and I work hard in school, but sometimes you just got to think about the long
run. That's the way I put it, right? And like take this with a grain of salt, but it, I guess it kind of worked out, is like, I would, if I was given an opportunity while I was in college, career-wise, like career path-wise, and I had to sacrifice like something, not like an exam, because that's like pretty big, but like going to class or something, I always took it as, am I going to get more value out of this time doing this real world career experience, or am I going to get more value sitting in a lecture for an hour and a half? You know what I mean? It's like,
exactly.
You just got to weigh it. Right. I used to work in Connecticut, for country radio, and three or four mornings out of the week, I would go in at like 3:30. I'd be there for like four. And I would stay there until, I don't know, whatever it was, like 9, 10 o'clock, whatever it was. And there was a couple of times where I had to be there because like someone cool was coming basically, and I had class and I would skip class to stay there longer. It's all about like how you know, college is like one of those things. Like you're never going to get anywhere if you just get 4.0s, straight A's, and never have an internship or never get real career experience. You'll never get anywhere. So I think it's smart.
Luckily here, being in Nashville in a music school, if I send an email and it's like, hey, I've got this meeting, they're like, yeah, absolutely go. So they're understanding.
I think that's awesome. And I really, you know, like before starting this, I didn't know much about Belmont besides the fact that it was a college, but I do really think that they really offer a lot to students and to be able to grow. And like, you know, guys like you from Oklahoma who aren't from the area who move there, and it gives you a way to get there, to get a degree, without just like trying to slum it on Broadway. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, it's a lot harder if you do it that way as an 18-year-old kid than if you have like some sort of structure and like you allow yourself to figure it out, right? Because like right now you're a sophomore, right? So, you know, like you have time, like if you know, what I'm trying to say is like, you're not stressed about playing music all the time so that you can make money, because, you know, like you do have a fallback and you have a place to sleep. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like one of those things. It's like crazy. Yeah. So, I think that's great. And I'm glad you're doing well. You're looking jacked. I'm saying it. Saying it as is. Are you lifting a lot recently?
Every day, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you were a quarterback, right?
I was.
And did you coach for a while?
I did. Yeah. So on that semester off, I was able to coach, and then I'll do some stuff this summer with the team, but I won't be able to be there in the fall.
What was that experience like? Did you enjoy it?
It was so fun. I can't believe how fun it was. I was coaching with my brother, who was my quarterback coach when I was
in high school. That's cool.
And so now he's doing like OC stuff, and I was just doing basically quarterbacks and a little bit of linebacker stuff, but it was a good time.
Do you see that as like a path, like as you're you know, growing as an artist and as a writer, like, do you see yourself also maybe just coaching on the side, just to, you know, like fulfill that little itch? Cause like for me, right, like I think we're totally opposite, right? Cause I really loved sports all throughout high school and college. And, you know, that's what I do now, but I also really love music, and I kind of wish it was flipped. You know what I mean? Where like I could do music stuff full time and the sports stuff. But I mean, it's true. Like I really do love music stuff, and I wish that could be my avenue. Like, do you see yourself doing that, where, you know, you're doing the music stuff full time, and then every once in a while, you're going to coach on the weekends or something like that?
I would love that, man. I didn't even plan really till last second to be home in the fall,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is my brother's coaching. They can get me on the staff. I'll go coach. It's kind of the last time to really be around football.
Sure.
Like super involved like this. And it was something that was just, the music business is very selfish, as you know. And I was like, this is a cool opportunity to do something bigger than myself. It's a good ministry opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't know how many more of those I'll have as my career progresses. I would love to be involved for the rest of my life in coaching. Sure. It's
great. Can you still sling it?
I can still sling it, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get out.
No shoulder problems
together. Oh, it hurts like it's so bad when I do it, dude, but I get out there.
I love it. I love it. I think that's great. I grew up wrestling. A lot of my buddies are coaches of my high school team now. And it's really cool to go see them and watch them do their thing. And every once in a while, they'd be like, come to practice. Come on, like roll around a little bit. I'm like, I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get hurt. I'm out of shape. I drink too much Miller Lite and I don't work out as much and I'm going to get hurt. It is going to happen. So I just stay away. I just can't do it. I wish I could, but.
Dude, I'm only like 4 years out of high school too. Like,
yeah,
this guy's older than me playing at any level.
Isn't that crazy?
Holy,
isn't that crazy?
Like rubber. Yeah, it's
you
nuts.
Stop it for a while and you're like, damn. But if you keep doing it, like, I guess you never really lose it. At some point, you probably slow down. But I don't know. I find that whole thing crazy. I don't. It's nuts. I look at like baseball pitchers, right? And like, you got a guy, you got freaking Rich Hill playing for the Pirates. He's 42 years old. 42. He's 10 years younger than my dad. 42 years old. Like, are you kidding? I think it's crazy. I think it's nuts. There's a few people like that. I don't know. I don't get it. But, you know, they're a lot more talented than you and I. Or should I say me, at least.
Destroyed at 42.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, right. All right. So let's get into music here. You know, you've been posting a lot recently, which I really appreciate. And I think that I mean, obviously that really helps you out in terms of just your engagement and reaching other people and reaching new people and new fans and things of that nature. In this world of like, because I've been talking about this recently, in this world of where country music is kind of in this weird spot, because for so long, I feel like it was so much like we were losing everything that was the foundation, right? Like I felt like that was kind of just, it wasn't going to stick, right? And I was like, oh, well, this isn't good because you can't have anything without foundation. Things evolve, sure. Whether we like it or not, things are going to evolve. But like, we need that foundation. And now I feel like we're kind of getting enough people, and you are one of them, that are kind of not really, I mean, they're not BSing, right? Like, let's say it how it is. Like, they know exactly what they love. They know exactly what they love to play. And they're going to do that. And there's a lot of guys that are doing that now at a very large level or up and coming level. But where do you see the trajectory of your music? And like, at what point did you say, yeah, like I'm never going to change, even if I was offered a blank check? You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. For me, it's, I'm always going to make what I love.
Right.
And my taste and my sound's always evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one day, I don't see this happening. Maybe one day I'll be like, I want to do non-country for a little bit.
Sure.
If I'm making country music, and I may have said this the last time I was on here, I want people to hear it like a blind taste test and be like, that is country music.
There you go.
And that's just because what I love. I think there's a place for all of it. And as long as people are doing what they love, that's awesome.
Yeah.
This is just, I'm going to play what I like to listen to.
I agree. So the way I put it is like, it's like you can't have one without the other, right? Like, there's no way country music has this modern day sound to it without all the guys we know and love, right? Like, there's no way you can have this. You, let's put it this way: you can't have a Hardy and a Morgan Wallen and whoever else you want to throw in there without a Cody Johnson and George Strait and, you know, like all those guys that paved the way. That, you know, like you. And you can't have a George Strait without a George Jones. You know what I mean? Like, it just goes back and back and back, farther and farther. So I always like to say, like, you know, the reason why I always tell people, like, okay, so I had this conversation the other day. Someone was like, well, why do you like it so much? I explained to them why I like it so much. And then I was like, I bet you I could find something you'd like too. Because the spectrum is so wide, even if I don't like this thing, I know that there's probably someone that doesn't love the traditional stuff will probably like this. So I don't know. I agree with you though. I think that like, play what you love, it translates, right? And that's why it's so ever flowing, because like, you have so many people out there that just love the honky tonk stuff, right? You have so many people that love that traditional sound, the crying steel, like all of those things that make a country song, you know, like you have so many people out there that want to do that. So you got to buy into it, or else you're doing yourself a disservice. If you're trying to be someone you're not, someone's going to see through it.
Right. I agree. So.
Question for you here. So I actually was on the phone with my friend last night, and I was listening to a John Denver record. So I was listening to Leaving on a Jet Plane, which I think is like one of like the most beautiful songs ever, but also like really eerie at the same time. But so we were having a conversation, and I was like, yeah, I'm listening to John Denver. And she was like, I don't really like country music, but it's always, I don't like country music, but. If you're isn't it always the but follows? It's never like, I don't like country music. It's always, I don't like country music, but. And there's, you don't know how many times I've heard this. These are just some examples I've heard. I don't like country music, but I like John Denver. I don't like country music, but I like Johnny Cash. I don't like country music, but I like Dolly Parton. I don't like country music. I don't like country music, but I like Waylon Jennings. And then after a while, these are all different people saying these things. Sturgill Simpson's also one of them, right? These are all people saying these things. And I eventually got to a point yesterday. I said this, I really want your take on this. And I said, so then you like country music. Like you like country music. If you like Dolly Parton and you like John Denver and you like Johnny Cash and you like goddamn Waylon Jennings, you like country music. I promise you. Stop being so uptight and like join the crowd and say that you don't like it if you like it. Right?
It's true. Dude, I've had people, usually my friends are like, I don't like country music. And then I'm like, yeah, you do. And I show them old stuff, like real traditional country. And they're like, oh, this is awesome. I was like, you just don't like pop country music.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. I hate that. I actually hate that. It's my least favorite thing. Because then, and I want to hear what you think too, but like then I say, okay, well, if you like Dolly Parton, here's Loretta. And here's Patsy Cline. And here's... whoever, you know what I mean? Like here's Tammy Wynette, right? Like here are artists that are kind of in that realm that you might also love. It's all about just opening up. And we all know the only reason why people don't love country music. Like we know the stigma that comes around with it and why people say they don't like it. And we know it's because everyone else says it and they just want to follow along with the crowd. But I mean, there's a lot of great stuff out there. And you know that.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of the things? So like, it's funny because like your buddies from like Oklahoma, right? Like, I'm surprised they don't like country music. Like, what?
Well,
what
that was mainly friends here.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So and like, really, what are your friends here listening to? Like in Tennessee, listening to?
Well, I was saying that because usually these are like pop artists or rappers or producers, and they're like, I don't like country, and I'm like, okay. No, you don't like people stepping over the boundary into your genre, and it's not as good as your genre. That's what you don't like about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. That I find that interesting too, because it's like I was watching American Idol the other night because it was on TV. So I was like, yeah. And I always find it cool because like it always opens me up to a new artist that's trying to pave the way. So I find that cool because I could literally use it as like a networking tool without obviously. But I was thinking about it and like, you know how all these people will get up there and sing like R&B songs or like, you know, like Aretha Franklin or like, you know, like just really powerful voice songs. But then when they become artists, they sound nothing like those performances. They change everything. Mm-hmm. And I never understood it. And then I thought about it and I said, well, country artists, when they sing their songs, they end up sounding like those songs because that's who they are and that's who they want to be. But that's why people hate when they move over to pop because it's so voice heavy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't know. What do I know? But I find it really interesting. I do. All right. So 2023, right? It's been a little bit since you put out music. Your first song of 2023 came out a few weeks ago. It's called Tulsa. At this point, it'll probably be about a month ago, but it's called Tulsa and it's fantastic. You've been teasing on TikTok a little bit. Seems like it's gotten some pretty good reaction. Some people have liked it across all the social medias and what does this song mean to you? How long have you been holding on for? And what, you know, why did you decide that now was your time to put it out?
Man, so I wrote this. I'm a junior in college. I wrote this freshman year on Christmas break.
I said you're a sophomore. You didn't call me out.
Well, it's my first semester of junior year.
That's fair. You could have called me out, though. You could have told me I was an idiot. That's fine.
No. But I wrote it 2020, December, Christmas time. And then I've been holding on to it. It's always been one of my favorites. I've played it at all my shows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so scared because I love it so much and it means so much to like put it out at the wrong time or like not love everything about the production. And then this past summer, I was like, it's time for it. I've gotten a little bit more traction. We're getting bigger shows. Like maybe this will push us over the edge a little bit.
Yeah.
And people are loving it. It seems like I love it. I'll always love it. But I'm super happy to finally have it out. This is the longest I think I've waited on a song that I knew I was going to put out to actually put it out.
Wow. It's pretty good. Is there like an antsy feeling to that where you're just like, I mean, I want to put it out so bad, but like then you don't get as much out of it, obviously. So like you want it to be perfect, but you know, like how does that feel when you finally get to put it out?
It feels so good. Release day always is like this anxious, like, oh, it's coming out. Did we do everything right? Have we promoted it the right way? All this stuff. But once it's out, man, it's like, you know, when someone Googles you, that's the first thing they're going to see, sure. And you're proud of it. And you're like, all right, I'm content.
So what have you learned promotion wise? Like, you know, from the last stuff that you've put out in terms of how to promote the quote unquote right way? Cause I don't actually believe that there's a right way to do it. I think it's just a way that works for someone, but you know, what have you learned by putting out your last project and your last songs, your last group of songs that this time, maybe you're like, I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it a different way. Or you want to try something new, or you knew that's something that worked and you wanted to try it again. Like, how do you navigate that whole world of social media and promotion of that aspect?
Yeah. Well, Hardwood Heartache, the last EP, four songs, I didn't really promote it at all. I mean, I did interviews and stuff, but I didn't like push it on Instagram or I was really on TikTok. This round, I got on TikTok hard in the fall and got a few followers and likes on there and just started pushing stuff. And then it's funny because usually when you put out a song, you can like pitch it to different playlists, like curated playlists and stuff. I've done that every time I release music, except for Tulsa.
Wow.
And Tulsa got on like three Spotify curated playlists. And I was
that's
like,
what in the world is happening?
But just kind of lucked out on that one. So
that's unreal.
Yeah.
That's it's funny how that works. It's like just when you least expect it, it just works out. But that means the song was doing the talking, right? So I guess like it's really not. So now that's surprising if that's how we're handling it. TikTok is funny. I'm looking at your page right now and you got a couple of nice little views here on these videos. Hey now, look at you. Look at you. I love that you like take requests from people and just sing them, but they're always like not bullshit requests. They're always like songs that you just really love.
Yeah.
I mean they always sound great too. But like, is that like do you ever, so I mean, obviously I don't sing, but if I was like filming a video of myself singing, like, do you, how many times do you redo that? Or do you do it once and you're done? Because like, I don't know, like, I feel like I wouldn't be perfect the first time and you'd like worry about like where you're looking or how you're sounding or, you know, you know what I mean? Like, how is that for you?
Man, I've tried to build my brand around like authenticity.
Yeah.
And just being who I am. But I'm also a perfectionist. So I do those videos, dude. It may take an hour to get.
I want to see your camera roll. I want to see what your camera roll looks like.
Oh, it's dude, I delete them because I run out of space. Like my camera roll runs out of space when I make a TikTok.
That's ridiculous. That's unreal. I mean, I think that they're great. And like the fact that you like put some effort into them is really good because, I mean, that's what you want, right? Like that's like, that's how you're marketing yourself. And I do, and you know, I think it's great that you actually get out there and like sing the songs instead of doing like, you know, the people that can sing, but decide they want to just like throw the audio and like the actual, you know, what's my biggest pet peeve. I hate this with everything I have. I hate when people are like, here's the, like, I just got the master version back, or I just got the demo back. And like, here's my song, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, and it's never actually like then it cuts. Right. And you just hear the audio and I'm like, man, you could have just, one, we know it's the final product and we know that like your manager's not telling you to hang on. You know what I mean? Like just play the song. Like if you're talented and you like the music, just play the song.
I've got a few videos talking about that on my TikTok. That's kind of how I promoted my song, was saying, I'm not going to do this.
Well, which is fine, but it's also like, it's like you're actually singing on these videos. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a lip sync track to a song. Like you're genuinely singing on these videos, which I think is important. You know what I mean?
Like, I tend to throw a little bit of shade at that kind of thing. So.
I mean, it's true though. It's like, you know, I'm not one to hate on how anyone wants to market themselves, but like, if you could sing, just sing, man, just sing. Like, If you're having fun, like with the lip sync stuff, like, I mean, I do it, but like mostly it's like joke stuff or like, I don't know, whatever, but I can't sing. Like, I'm not going to get up there and sing because I can't. But if you can sing and you're promoting your own song, just sing the damn song. Just do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What the hell do I know? I'm just saying. I'm getting heated today, apparently. What was the, this is an interesting question. Bringing out the cowboy hat, right? You know, I've seen it in the past. I feel like you're wearing it more prevalently now in your pictures and your videos. And when you play shows, for some people, you know, like you grew up in Oklahoma, like that's a very normal thing. But I feel like for some people, when they move out of this place of comfort and they go to this new place, sometimes they kind of adapt to what's around them, right? Like you're around people from all areas of the country that have,
yep,
that grow up in totally different environments or the same environments. Was breaking out the cowboy hat and you know, wearing that proudly, was there any sort of like nervousness behind that?
There wasn't. I'm a very confident and sometimes confrontational kind of guy.
Fair enough.
And to me, that's just bringing where I'm from with me and saying, this is who we are. This is what we do.
Nice.
You won't catch me. And I'm not throwing shade at people who do. This just isn't me. And like skinny jeans and flannel and Chelsea boots, you know, like that's just sure. Not me. That doesn't represent me or my music.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've done a pretty good job of building our brand and being real and just playing country music.
Do you agree that you are that, you know, everyone's just, as long as, in my opinion, it's like, as long as you're comfortable in your own skin and you, you know, like promote what you want to promote and you're not trying to be someone you're not, then I don't really give a crap. It doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But on the contrary, like if you're comfortable in Wranglers and boots and hat, then no one can complain about that. And like, you know what I mean? Like there's gotta be, you gotta be good on this side and good on this side. So I commend that. I think that's great because I think that there are some people that like, you know, like I'll use like Chesney as an example. He said, you know, the turning page for me was like when I took the hat off and stopped trying to be George Strait. Right. Because like he wasn't the hat guy. Right. And he was like the cutoff and, you know, quote unquote, like summer songs guy, but he had to just like figure out that path for him. Right. So I think that like, it's important to just be 100% who you are and like and let it rock. And let's be honest, the ladies love the cowboy hat.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
That's right. I have a lot of pairs of boots. I got a lot of one of my buddies from college was up here recently, and he was in my I'm very proud of my vinyl collection. It's not huge, but there's a lot. And we went to a couple of record stores, and I came out with some Dwight Yoakam and some Steve Earle, which from up here is like unheard of, but. He was like, you got a lot of boots. I was like, yeah, I do. I mean, I got five pairs for New Jersey. That's like kind of ridiculous, but, yeah, I'm a big fan. What are you wearing on your feet these days, Braden?
I've been going ostrich a lot.
Yeah.
Some ostrich. Yeah.
From that's where
go to their area.
Nice.
I've got all kinds. I'm trying to get a boot deal. I've got like a Wrangler deal, hats deals. I'm like, I want boots, because that's where my money goes. That's the most expensive.
I want a boot deal too. If you get one, send it my way.
Yeah, I will, dude. You send me a vest, I'll send you a pair of boots.
All right, let's do that. Let's do that. Deal. We'll shake on that one. I'm in on that. What's with the Wranglers? Because I know we've talked about this, and they're like, do they often send you a pair of jeans? Like, is that how that goes?
They did. I did a campaign with them, and they sent me a lot. I haven't heard from them in a while, so I need to reach back out, but that's all I wear on stage, and
sure.
That's the only kind of jeans I wear ever.
Yeah.
I just
a year and a half ago, man, that's not where you were. I love it.
I tweeted at him like a year ago, and it was like, I would save so much money with a Wrangler sponsorship.
Sure.
And then they gave me one, and it was awesome. So
that's so awesome. I should do that. I recently, cause I wore just like Levi's for a while, and I was like, man, I don't know, I can never find like the perfect jean. I got really skinny legs, so I was like, I could never find the perfect jean that fits me without looking too baggy but also like fits over my boots, you know what I mean? So I found a pair of Wranglers. I forget the model number, but it's like their slim boot, right? So it's not tight to your leg, it's really loose on your leg, but it's just tighter up top. so that it like basically hugs a little bit better, so they don't look like they're baggy.
Yeah.
And they fit great over my boots. And I'm like, I should just only buy Wranglers at this point. Yeah. Because I loved them. They're like, they're great.
You would like the slim fit cowboy cut too.
Right. I just need something wide to go over my boots so there's no flare, right? But I also like wouldn't mind, like my other thing is like if I want to wear them with sneakers, that's cool too. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want them to be too baggy with sneakers. So I just got to find the right pair. And I think I did. So, and I've heard of the cowboy cut. So I think, when, you know, when the fall rolls around, I'll probably just buy a couple pairs of those and call it a day. But I love them. And they hold up really nice. You know what I mean? Like, you can wash them a bunch of times and they hold up so nice. Big Wrangler guy over here. Huge.
I think you can, because I've worked in mine and do everything. So I've got a ton of holes. I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I think you can like send them back in if you like.
And they stitch them, right?
Yeah. Like if
you I think out. I heard that too. I heard that too. It's like a lifetime guarantee, whatever. So you don't have to buy new ones, which is, I think, is awesome. It's a great marketing tactic because then people are just going to buy new ones at that point. If you think about it, like they'll just be like, okay. You know, they did a, did you see this? They did a deal with Gibson at one point. Like they did a collaboration with Gibson.
Fender too, I think.
Fender, that's what it was. It wasn't Gibson, it was Fender. You're right.
Yeah,
and they had the little guitar pick pocket. Did you see that? That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I play Fender too. That's what I play. So
do you? So what's your deal with guitars? Like, do you have a bunch of them? Do you have like one old reliable? Like, what's your bread and butter?
I have a few. There's definitely two that I play. I play a Telecaster with the band, and then I play a Martin with just acoustic stuff. So
Martins are great. I love the sound of Martins.
I love them.
I love them. I wish I could play one, but I think that they just sound great. I totally wish I could play one. I have this theory that I can't play guitar because I learned how to play guitar righty and my strumming isn't good. It's not the chords, it's my strumming. So I think if I was to flip it and use my, because I'm a lefty, and use my dominant hand, I'd be better. I have no idea if that's true. I just kind of made that up in my head. But some people think I might be onto something. Who knows? You might see me break out and be an artist one day. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
That's awesome.
What are you listening to right now? Who's inspiring you? Who is, you know, maybe new or old or wherever they might be, but who's inspiring you and you know, who's inspiring your writing and your artistry and all that good stuff?
Dude, Jake Worthington.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Holy crap.
If you're a real one, you would have listened to the episode I put out 3 weeks ago with the guy.
Yeah, I didn't. I did not. But that album, like, inspired me more than any album of my generation.
Oh, it's so good, man.
It is so good.
I've been listening to him for like 5 or 6 years at this point, at least since he put out that first EP. I was so glad he's put more work out.
I know.
Dude, he's killer.
He's a good guy, too. Like, he's just the nicest guy in the world.
He's the best.
It's so good. That's what I've been probably only listening to that since it came out.
So what's your favorite song?
Ain't Got You to Hold.
That's a good one. That's up there on my list. I'm a Closing Time guy. I think him and Nick Walsh did a kick-ass job on that. But I love Closing Time. I also love that it's the last song. I'm like a sucker for it. But I think that's my favorite. Ain't Got You is next.
Yeah.
That project's great. I know every single word on that entire thing.
It's so 80s.
Dude, it's so 80s. And you know what's crazy is I had that record like 2 months prior to coming out. And I listened to the whole thing like every single day, but I could only listen to it when I was alone. If someone was in the car, I had no problem, but like no one knew what it was. So it like wasn't as, you know, and I would listen to it on my way to work and I'd listen to it home. And I'm just like, man, this is, if I like snapped my fingers and I was in 1985, like this is what I would hear.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, it's so good.
And it's got the perfect blend of like upbeat songs and sad songs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, listen, Jake's a really good guy, and I know he occasionally listens, and if he's listening now, I really hope that he just blows up and just straight to the moon for Jake Worthington, because the one thing about him is he loves country music. That's all you need to know. Like, there is no other thing that matters more to him than that, and I think that's really cool.
Yep. He's on his way, man.
I'm telling you. Who else? You got anyone else? I'm curious.
I'm always listening to like Cody and Randall.
Have you seen Cody yet?
Live?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, several times.
That kills me.
He is the best, in my opinion. Jake just put out the best album I've ever heard of like someone close to my age.
Mm-hmm.
And Cody's the best performer I've ever seen.
So here's the thing, Braden, is that Cody doesn't really come up here, right? Like this is a little north for Cody. I get it.
Okay.
But Cody is like, if I had to tell my kids in 20 years who I think the most influential artist of my time is, for me, it's Cody Johnson. There's two people, Cody Johnson, Eric Church. I don't need anything else. Like, listen to them for the rest of my life and be happy, right? Modern day is what I'm getting at. But he doesn't come up here. The closest he's coming is Bridgeport, Connecticut, which is about an hour and a half from my house. And you bet your ass I'm going on May 20th. My
first
time.
Let's go.
Come on now.
Let's go.
Come on. I got a text the other day. I was like, yeah, I'm good to go. I was like, all right, cool. We're going May 20th. We're going to drive an hour and a half. Me and my buddy, one of my best friends. And I texted him. I said, you drive. I got tickets. You drive. And he goes, I'm in. So, you know, I am jamming. I'm so ready. I've never been more ready in my entire life.
It's going to blow your mind, dude.
I bet. I'm so excited.
I've never seen so much energy and just like stage presence while keeping it country at the same time. It's going to blow your mind.
Dude, the only concert I've ever gotten like butterflies about up until this point is Eric Church. And I almost teared up like when he started playing. Well, I actually think I might cry. I don't know. I'm not an emotional guy. I'm really not. But I think that it might happen because I just think about it. And every time I think about it, I just start smiling. It's fucking wild.
Dude, I would give anything to see Kojo for the first time again.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, people always say like, what is an album or what is a song you wish you could listen to for the first time again? Like, I get to see one of my heroes for the first time. And like, no one can ever take that away from me. You know what I mean? That's crazy. That's so crazy. I never thought that I was going to be able to see him unless I went south. That's crazy. I don't know. I'm ready. What is your favorite song in his set list?
Oh gosh. They Tonk.
Yeah.
Live. Honestly, it's probably Me and My Kind.
Yeah. I love that song, dude.
Because.
Oh man.
Everyone, it's not like one of the newer ones on like a super long album that maybe you haven't heard a million times, you know?
Sure.
Everybody knows Me and My Kind, and the place just goes crazy, dude.
Or Dancer Home, man. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? I've been listening to Cody for almost 10 years. I started listening to Cody Johnson when I was like, God, I had to be like 17, probably something around those lines. Gonna be 25. Like, I've been listening to him for a while and I know every song inside and out. Like, one of my favorite records is like one of those first records. If I could have everything he's ever put out on vinyl, I'd die happy, man. And I'm so ready just to see everything he's got. Now, here's my question for you, right? So, he announced that he's gonna put out his next record is gonna be a double. He didn't announce it a time, I don't think, but he said the next record is gonna be a double. Do you think so? Obviously, he's got Long Hair Country Boy as a cover on Dear Rodeo, right? And then he's got Sad Songs and Waltzes on this new one, right? And I want to say there's another one on there, but I can't think of off the top of my head. But do we think he goes out and puts like another two, like, do we think he puts like Traveling Soldier or like, or the Gary Allen song? Like, will he put that up there?
Yeah, I think he does. She's Acting Single.
Yeah, right. I think that there's a chance with that too. But out of all of that, what is the one cover I heard from that I wish he would do? I wish he would put his cover of Ballad of Curtis Lowe. Dude, he did you see that on YouTube?
Yeah.
It kicked ass. I was a little hesitant. It kicked ass. It was so good.
It was.
So good.
He
I don't
killed
know.
Everything. His voice is so versatile. It's crazy.
Do you think Cody Johnson is a big reason why country music is going in the direction that it's currently going in?
Oh, without a doubt.
Do you think without him we could be at this point?
No.
Okay.
I think we would maybe eventually get there, but not now. Cody, so Oklahoma and Texas, that's where you're going to hear fiddle and steel everywhere. Yeah. That's what everybody's doing. Cody was the first one to really, several people have done it, but he was the first one to really bridge the gap.
Sure.
Nashville and Texas. He got major label deal. He's on an arena tour. He's the first one really doing it. Randall's killing it. I think Jake, though, has potential to change it even more than Cody changed it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's just my personal
opinion. But I don't think that Jake gets to where he is without a guy like Cody.
Pick him. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's important because you know what I think though is like Jake speaks his mind. He says like, this is who I am. This is who I want to be. And no one's going to change that. And Cody played 10 years in Texas for a reason before he ever, you know, made it big time because his thing was, I'm never going to change. And then, you know, he found someone that would allow him to be who he was. And that's why he is who he is.
Yeah. Cody and Randall are why I moved to Nashville.
That's awesome.
It was like, these guys are making it work. So I guess there is room for us.
You know? Was there any song that was your tipping point? That was like, yeah, it's time.
Probably Mirror Mirror by Randy.
Yeah. That's a great record
that
too.
That came out and I saw that it was in Nashville. I was like, okay, like that's country.
That's a great record.
Yeah.
It's a great record. It's on vinyl now actually too. I contemplated buying it. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Who knows? Yeah, those guys they're transcending. Like, you know, if you talk about, and what I like about you, like why we're friends is this, is like, you are like, yeah, this stuff's cool, right? Like, I think this stuff is cool and I think this stuff is cool, but people here don't understand why I think it's cool. But then there's guys like you that are like, yeah, this stuff is so cool. Right. And it just makes you love it even more because like, you know, there's hope out there, right? Like, you know, that there's people that still like this sound that will allow it to still grow within 2023 and later on. And it's so important. Right.
For sure.
For anyone who's listening right now, and who will go and check out Tulsa, after they're listening to this, or I hope they paused it when we started talking about it, but, that's just me. But, what do you want to tell people about the song and what do you want to close it out and tell people, you know, like, who are you? Like, what is your goal for the next year or the next 5 years? And what do you want to put out, or if you want to put anything out, like, who do you want to be going forward as an artist and as a writer? And what do you want someone to take away from this song when they listen to it?
Yeah, I mean, Tulsa is really, it's home, obviously.
Obviously.
But it's just kind of about, to me, it was like the turn of an era, that song. It was the last thing I recorded in Tulsa. I don't know where I'll record after that. It's also kind of the story. It's just chasing a dream. It's the cost of chasing a dream, missing what you're leaving behind, and just kind of wrestling with that as you go on. And it's kind of, I guess, like a love letter to where I'm from and where I came from. And
that's where I take from it.
I'm never going to forget you. You're always going to be part of me. But moving forward, man, I just want to play and write country dang music. I mean, man. I've got a song coming out probably June.
Cool.
And it's a honky tonk heater, man.
Yeah. I love it. Where'd you record it? You record it in Tulsa too?
Tulsa. Yeah.
Awesome. I love it, man. That's awesome. I've been sitting here the whole time, and as we're talking, I'm, you know, I got your Instagram open, you play Whiskey Jam, and you're doing all these great things that, you know, a year and a half ago when we first met, you weren't doing. And you know, you're just kind of finding your way and cutting your teeth. And I think you're well on your way. And I love to see the growth, and the songs sound great. Your voice sounds incredible. You know, keep up the good work, man. Cause it'll work for you. You just got to keep pushing and keep chugging, and you're doing an awesome job. So
I
keep it up.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Of course, dude. Come back, hang out anytime. You know where to find me. You know, shoot me a text and we'll talk some music. And even if you just want to send me a project and say like, what are you talking about? Like, I love going back and forth with people about music, especially like random, like when I'm listening to like random albums, I'll just send them over. I go like, what are your thoughts on this album? Right. And then we'll go down like a 45 minute rabbit hole of like what we like and what we don't like and all this stuff. I love doing that stuff. It's like my favorite thing to do. So, you know, let's do some more of that. I love it. Awesome. Everybody, you can go listen to Brayden's new song, Tulsa, wherever you stream music, Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you listen to music, it's there. You can follow him on Instagram at Brayden_Jameson and keep up with new music there and show announcements and all that good stuff. You know, it obviously, you know, helps him out, how have engagement on his posts and TikTok posts and all that stuff. So do all the good things to support your artists and your friends and your writers. Everybody, thank you for tuning into another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. That was another episode of the RCM Podcast. I'm Kyle. That's Brandon Jameson. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.